the federal fleet, the vehicles that the federal government uses to do business, a subject of scrutiny in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And Becky Rhodes, Deputy Associate Administrator for the General Services Administration's Office of Travel, Transportation, and Asset Management in the Office of Government-Wide Policy is my guest to talk about the state of the federal fleet, where it is and where it's going, no pun intended. And Becky, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with me today.
Thank you, Francis. It's nice to be here.
Tell me about where the federal fleet is. Just like anything else, when you look at something the federal government does, people have, I think, preconceived notions, and they turn out to be not true. Was on my way to work the other day, was behind a car that had a GSA license plate, and it occurred to me that it's not just cars and vans and so forth in the federal fleet. I imagine it's an all-encompassing fleet of vehicles that you have.
Yes, Francis. Let me give you a little bit of background. The federal motor vehicle fleet has remained fairly constant over the past 5 years or so. Our reports for 2008 indicate that we have 645,000, a little bit over that, vehicles. These vehicles have traveled 5 billion miles using 362 million gallons of gas for a total operating cost of about $4 billion. About a third of these are owned by the U.S. Postal Service, or owned and operated by the U.S. Postal Service, about a third by the Department of Defense, and the remaining third are operated by the civilian agencies. The combined fleet is the largest fleet in the world. The GSA fleet and the Postal Service fleet are the largest centrally managed fleets that we know about,
mm-hmm.
and they each have about 220,000 vehicles in each of their fleets. The GSA fleet vehicles are actually operated by other agencies. Contrary to the perception that you were mentioning earlier, the federal fleet is primarily a working fleet.
Mm-hmm.
It consists of 63% of trucks, buses, and ambulances, and 37% of passenger vehicles, which includes the passenger vans as well as the SUVs. Then we also have an aviation fleet, and the federal government's inventory of aviation is about 1,600. They support agency missions for natural resources, science research, search and rescue, law enforcement, and similar things to that.
Mm-hmm.
This fleet consists of about 251 models from 55 manufacturers. And it's a very large fleet, large and quite diverse when you compare it to a commercial airlines.
It's pretty amazing the breadth of the vehicles, the sheet metal that you've got that you're responsible for. As you are looking at it, you said the number of vehicles has remained constant. This happening, I imagine, at the same time that the demands on the fleet are increasing exponentially.
Agencies don't always have the, the capital to buy new vehicles. And you're right, the demand on the fleet is generally not at the same pace as what they can bring into the fleet.
How has the situation that we've seen in Detroit over the last couple of months affected the way that you're able to add to the fleet? Obviously, they have production capacity, so they're able to supply the vehicles because they're not making as many for the private sector market as they have. Are you finding that in the current market that it's easier for you once you get the resources to get the vehicles into the fleet?
Well, the GSA's Federal Acquisition Service is actually the procurement arm and does do their purchasing from all three of the domestic automobile manufacturers. As you're aware, President Obama signed the American Recovery and Investment Act back in February, and this had pertinent information relative to energy efficiency, motor vehicle fleet procurements. And it allowed GSA to have an additional $300 million to purchase hybrid vehicles, electric vehicles, anything commercially available, plug-in vehicles if they would be available. And this money was going to remain available to us until 2011. We have actually purchased 31 hybrids. That was our very first purchase back in April using some of this stimulus money. Those hybrids are going to certainly help us be able to evaluate the cost effectiveness of these vehicles moving into, you know, the purpose for all of our Energy Act bills, where we're trying to increase fuel efficiency and reduce greenhouse gas reductions.
The fuel efficiency element of it, too, I think is fascinating because just of the scale, a 5-cent move in the price of gas doesn't affect my personal family budget a whole lot, adds a couple dollars. When you're talking about stretching that out over 645,000 vehicles and 362 million gallons times a nickel, it really makes a big difference. And moving to hybrids and doing other things like that to drive fuel efficiency can really make a big difference.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's what we hope to do. Each of the agencies has, well, all of the government, let me put it that way, we have goals that we need to meet for increased fuel efficiency, and I think the purchase of the 17,000 vehicles or over 17,000 vehicles that we're purchasing with the recovery money, with the stimulus money, will certainly help as the agencies are actually giving up a higher gas hog, if you will, to receive one of the more fuel-efficient cars that we've purchased.
Just as somebody who likes cars, I am fascinated by some of the things that the car companies have been doing, not just since the troubles that some of the companies have been having, but over the last several years, the things they've been doing to drive fuel efficiency in all levels, SUVs right on down to the very smallest compact cars. Talk a little bit about the goals that you mentioned that the agencies have to meet and the ways that that you're trying to do that with the vehicles in the GSA fleet.
Well, in the Recovery Act, there was a goal actually listed that agencies had to increase fuel efficiency by 10%. So I'm very confident, although I don't have any statistics right now, but I'm very confident with the vehicles that we have purchased and the vehicles that are being turned back in for sale, the replacement vehicles, I think we will definitely meet that goal without a problem.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that would be one that would be hard for you to quantify because you have the advantage, obviously, the vehicles being in the fleet, you know how they've been doing. And the statistics that the manufacturers are providing nowadays are pretty accurate. So I think you can, I imagine you can get a pretty good feel of what you're getting as you make new purchases.
Right. And another thing that we're doing, hybrid vehicles that have always been excluded in the definition of an alternative fuel vehicle under the Energy Policy Act of 1992. Those were not something that we collected data on separately.
Oh,
I
see.
In our 2009 report, we have a federal automotive statistical tool, which is the collection tool for the federal fleet report and for the Department of Energy's AFV reporting requirements, and that's now being enhanced so we can collect the hybrids as a separate unit, if you will, and then we would be able to track those.
How will that data, once you have that information, how will that impact buying decisions, do you think?
Well, I'm positive that if we have data that shows that you know, we are being more fuel efficient, therefore saving the taxpayer money ultimately, I think we'll be able to convince the agencies. And you know, you mentioned something earlier, Francis, about the automotive industry itself. It's not just small cars that they're making hybrids. They're doing this to, you know, vans. They're doing this to SUVs. So I think we'll be able to at least get them to take more of the hybrids. I think the interesting thing will be, and I can only mention it because I really don't know anything about it, and that is if industry does come up with the plug-in hybrids. And I know that's something that President Obama, you know, mentioned in some of his speeches as one of his goals. So if they start manufacturing them in a couple years out, then those will be an interesting addition to the federal fleet.
I was on vacation last week and saw around the Cooperstown area in New York, I saw a hybrid SUV that was not just one of the full-size ones, but one of the super-sized ones. And I don't recall the brand, but I didn't even know that anything made that large was a hybrid. So you do have a good menu of choices right now.
We do. We have a good breadth of that.
Becky Rhodes is Deputy Associate Administrator for GSA's Office of Travel, Transportation, and Asset Management. We're talking about the federal fleet, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Did you know that stress is curable? That's right. You can cure the panic attacks, short temper, and the depressed feelings caused by worrying about every little thing every day. You can free yourself from the problems of stress and worry permanently, and I want to show you how easy it can be. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. We've been helping people for over 20 years, and now we've created an amazing new breakthrough product called The Solution. It's an easy, step-by-step program that will help you feel happier, stay healthier, and feel really good every day for the rest of your life. Let me send you a powerful free tape that will show you how. Stress is curable. You can feel happy, relaxed, and always in control. Call now for your free tape.
Please call right now and we'll send you a powerful, life-changing tape absolutely free. Call 1-800-400-1852. That's 1-800-400-1852. 1-800-400-1852.
Is your computer running slowly? Does it take more than 3 seconds for your email to load? Are you getting pop-ups? How about spam? Well, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, your computer and your privacy are at risk because these are the telltale signs of a virus. It'll only get worse until you act. Get a free diagnosis at supercleancomputer.com and optimize your PC.
I got the free diagnosis, and now my computer is lightning fast.
My computer never crashes anymore.
Talk about optimization. My computer isn't even this fast at work.
Supercleancomputer.com will remove spyware, viruses, and virus-infected emails, all while optimizing your PC performance. It's all-in-one protection, and it's been raved about by USA Today and Computer World. The diagnosis is free. Just log on to supercleancomputer.com. Even if you have antivirus software, your computer could still be infected. Find out instantly with a free comprehensive diagnosis at supercleancomputer.com. If your computer is running slowly or you're still getting pop-ups, you need to get your free diagnosis from supercleancomputer.com. That's supercleancomputer.com.
Earlier on Agency of the Month, brought to you by Panasonic Toughbook.
Protecting the nation's borders is no easy task, but the formula is pretty simple for Border Patrol Chief David Aguilar.
The three words that describe our strategy, and again, it's an all-threat strategy, are gain, maintain, and expand. We take a look at where our greatest vulnerabilities, threats, and risks are. We go in there, we gain control, we leave enough resources behind to maintain that control, and then continue the expansion.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Complete your mission with the laptop that's 7 times more reliable than the industry average. This fully rugged mobile computer is widely used in the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol and other Department of Homeland Security agencies to help federal workers keep our nation's borders secure. The durable Toughbook 30 laptop can endure extreme conditions and harsh terrains. And now through September 30th, get a Panasonic Toughbook 30 with a smart card reader and preferred services for the special starting price of $2,499. Supplies are limited, so contact your Toughbook dealer or call 1-888-322-3934.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Looking at the federal fleet with Becky Rhodes, Deputy Associate Administrator for GSA's Office of Travel, Transportation, and Asset Management in the Office of Government-Wide Policy. We were talking about fuel efficiency and the costs involved, and you mentioned that the government uses 362 million gallons of gas Becky, and I imagine that provided quite a bit of heartburn last summer when gas went from about where it is now, about $2.50, up to $4 a gallon pretty quickly. What kind of contingency plans are in place, both from a consumption point of view and from a funding point of view, when something like that happens? How do you go ahead and keep doing? You can't just say, "Well, gas is expensive, and we don't have the money, so we're just going to stop doing certain things."
Well, I think that would vary really by the agency and the agency's mission. Some agencies really have a hard budget, and if the fuel increase really impacted their activity and their operation of the vehicle, they would have to start doing less. If it's an agency mission that just needs to keep on going, such as, say, law enforcement, they have to just find the money. There's no contingent plan or contingency budget, if you will, that, you know, allows for these fluctuating costs in fuel.
How do you work with the agencies to help them meet some of these goals with the vehicles that you work with on them?
Well, we have a number of best practices that we work with the agencies with, that we advertise, if you will, share with them when an agency is finding a way to have an impact on the fuel consumption. We issued a bulletin, unfortunately I don't have that in front of me right now, but we issued a bulletin within the last year that gave some examples of fuel efficiency tactics that the agencies can do.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the biggest challenge that you're dealing with right now when it comes to managing the fleet? Is it bringing in the new vehicles? Is it finding, I mean, you mentioned the money that was available in the Stimulus Act. Is it just going out and having FAS get the vehicles and bringing them in? Is it the way that the automotive business is changing? What challenges are you running up against?
Well, I think that could be answered in more than one way. In terms of GSA as a managing agency and in charge of government-wide policy for the entire fleet, truly the Recovery Act is impacting us. We're, you know, trying to make sure that the right vehicles get bought, that the right vehicles get turned back in, that we can sell those vehicles that are turned back in. The proceeds from those vehicles are going to be used for further stimulus vehicles. And so I'd have to say, right now you asked me that question, and that clearly is our focus and our priority.
Mm-hmm.
For each federal agency, it's the management of their fleet. And, you know, going back to your earlier question of, how do we help agencies? We issue regulations, we issue bulletins, we issue guidelines, we put things on our website. And proper maintenance is one thing that I think the agencies need to practice. I think data collection, which would go along with maintenance control, so they have the data to show that, the vehicles are being maintained. Driver awareness is another thing. Just getting the word out. You know, 645,000 vehicles is a lot, and you take individuals that are using those vehicles and trying to get information to each of those drivers, and each car doesn't necessarily have a single driver, is a big goal. It's kind of, I use this analogy a lot in the office, and maybe it's not appropriate over the radio, but it's like an onion, and
uh-huh.
You just keep peeling it.
Yep.
And, and each layer is equally as important, and sometimes it makes you cry. So, it's a huge deal. You've got safety issues, and, you know, that would have to be at the front of everybody's list. And then you've got fuel issues, which I'm not saying safety is not in front of other
sure.
people's list, but, you know, that comes right up behind it.
All right. Becky Rhodes, Deputy Associate Administrator for GSA's Office of Travel, talking about the federal fleet, and we'll wrap our conversation up in just a moment on Federal News Radio.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are sharply higher following some solid quarterly results and a positive outlook from Intel. The computer chip maker easily blew past Wall Street forecasts, helped by strong consumer demand for PCs. The Dow's up 186 points, the Nasdaq higher by 49. U.S. industrial output declined at a slower pace last month, and a key regional U.S. factory survey posted its strongest reading in a year this month. This is giving analysts another sign the recession may be easing. A Reuters poll of 70 economists shows although they think the U.S. economy will grow again in the current quarter and finish the year a bit stronger than previously expected, they aren't expecting a more robust recovery until late next year. And CalPERS has launched lawsuits against the three largest credit agencies for giving perfect grades to securities that later suffered huge subprime mortgage losses. Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio.
I had a great idea at work yesterday. So, I gathered my A-team to meet online using WebEx. I passed the ball
to Carol in Atlanta, and I created some killer graphics. Then, I passed the ball to
Taz in San Jose because I write the code that makes their ideas work online. Then I passed the ball to
Logan in Cambridge. I'm kind of the keeper of cool. And hey, it was cool.
So now, my idea wasn't just an idea. It was our hot new product line, created by our national development team.
Spread across three time zones.
And we couldn't have done it without passing the ball.
Using WebEx, the only way to pass the ball online.
Pass the ball. Get your ideas rolling. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code LESTRAVEL to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset. Remember that code, LESTRAVEL. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions.
If you're buried in credit card debt, the last thing the credit card companies want you to know is that they're in the same trouble you are. The only difference is that they can get the government to bail them out, and you can't. Do you want to hear the other secrets they don't want you to know? Information that you, too, can use to get yourself debt-free? We're MST Financial, and we'll give you the information the credit card companies don't want you to know. Information you can use to get out of debt faster than you ever imagined. And right now, we'll give it to you for free. Just call now. 1-800-990-0788. Your creditors know the secrets to keeping you in debt and making themselves rich. Now you can use their secrets against them and get yourself debt-free once and for all. See how easy it can be. Call us now for this must-have free information. 1-800-990-0788. That's 1-800-990-0788. 1-800-990-0788.
Our military, brought to you by DuPont.
Army Specialist Brittany Rain is proud of her service in Iraq, but she's also driven by her belief that a strong community makes a strong army. As a representative of Better Opportunities for Single Soldiers, or BOSS, the Army says Rain organizes recreational activities and rallies fellow soldiers to volunteer for such organizations as Habitat for Humanity, Compassion, Bravery, Professionalism. That's our military.
When it comes to protecting lives, DuPont Science produces some of the most innovative, most trusted materials in the world, used in products that are relied upon by the U.S. military and other emergency responders to help save lives and lighten gear. DuPont Kevlar and Nomex fibers help prevent or minimize injury from ballistic and thermal threats. Groundbreaking new technologies from DuPont will continue to protect those we depend on to protect us. Learn more. Visit usgovernment.dupont.com. usgovernment.dupont.com.
Hey, get ready for Saturday. It's a doubleheader. This United update brought to you by Volkswagen, presenting partner of DC United this Saturday, RFK Stadium. It all starts at 5 with a Washington Freedom game. And then DC United takes on Colorado. The match brought to you by U.S. Soccer Foundation and Pepsi. And you have to ask about the family four-pack. It's four tickets, two hot dogs, two orders of chicken tenders, four small orders of fries, one bag of peanuts, you kidding me, and four sodas. All this for only $96. For tickets, 202-587-5000 or DCUnited.com.
Federal News Radio in a Web 2.0 world. Find Federal News Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio group on Facebook. Chat with our team and make connections with others in the federal arena. Email us at fnrcomment@federalnewsradio.com. Visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news. Now.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Becky Rhodes, Deputy Associate Administrator in the Office of Government-Wide Policy. She is Deputy Associate Administrator for GSA's Office of Travel, Transportation, and Asset Management. We've been talking this hour about the federal fleet on In Depth with Francis Rose. And you were telling me during the break, Becky, about Fed Fleet, an event that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'd like to learn a little bit more about that, please.
Yeah, I'd just love to tell you. We are having our Fed Fleet 2009, which is our ninth conference. It's going to be the last week of July in Chicago, and it's a forum to provide both motor vehicle fleet managers as well as aviation fleet managers and professionals from all agencies. It's various levels to discuss regulatory issues, legislative issues, some technology advances, to provide fleet and aviation-specific training, as well as to provide an atmosphere for interaction to discuss common problems and best practices. Interestingly enough, we have over 1,400 people registered to date. We have about 163 exhibitors that are registered so far. But one interesting point is 38% of those 1,400 have indicated that they're first-timers. So this is the first time they will be attending Fed Fleet, which I guess falls into the discussions that are going on about, you know, a lot of people are baby boomers are leaving the government as they are leaving other, mm-hmm. other industries as well. With those new people that are coming, we have over 350 people that are scheduled to attend a basic fleet class, which is actually held on Sunday. And I always find that interesting that people are willing to give up their entire Sunday. We're going to be unveiling some new tools at this event, something called TurboCap, which will help both the motor vehicle and the aviation managers prepare capital asset plans using life cycle asset management planning and budgeting tools. This tool will help them with the OMB A11 Exhibit 300, which I'm sure the listeners are familiar with, and also with the capital planning guide. We'll demonstrate some of their returns on investments to ensure that the taxpayers' monies are also being spent wisely. We also hold aviation workshops that focus actually from everything from aviation psychology and human factors to managing an aging aircraft and managing accidents and incidents as well. We've had, as I said, this is the ninth year, and we've had just a real successful conference each year. It has grown. I believe the first one was in Scottsdale, and we had somewhere between 400 and 500 people attend. So this year looks like we might even be able to reach 1,500 since we're at the number we're at. And we just look forward to having everybody there and hopefully them learning a lot and sharing a lot. We have 32 vehicles that are in the exhibit hall. The exhibit hall is quite extensive when you think of actually having tractor trailers and fire trucks and big ambulances and law enforcement tactical equipment and stuff like that. It's quite an exhibit hall to enjoy. We have agencies that are coming and having their own. We have 22 agencies that are going to use this time together, bringing all of their agency representatives in these two areas in, and then they will have individual private meetings like on the day, you know, the day before the workouts get started and maybe the day after they get started to have an opportunity and to use the same travel money, so therefore it's saving the taxpayers' money. To bring their folks in and have individual meetings.
I'm looking down the agenda that you have set up here on fedfleet.org, and we'll have that linked up at federalnewsradio.com /in-depth later this afternoon. There are some, as you'd mentioned, what's going on Sunday, and there are some similar things scheduled. You talked about what's happening Sunday, the 26th of July. Also, a number of things lined up for Monday. But you really get into some interesting workshop sessions on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For anybody that has pretty much anything to do with a vehicle in their line of work. There's a lot here. We talked about plug-in hybrids. You're going to focus on that from the GAO perspective, looks like on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Vehicle acquisition workshop on Wednesday as well. How do you decide what things you want to focus on in these workshops that are going to fit the information needs that the people at the agencies have?
Well, of course, we always look at, what currently is happening. So because of the Recovery Act, we do have a couple of sessions, or at least one, I'm not 100% sure, that we'll talk about the Recovery Act. So, mm-hmm. We look at the current times, but we have a planning committee that is made up of representatives from the major agencies, the major operating agencies of both aviation and motor vehicle fleet. And to be perfectly honest, we've already started next year's. We've already met and started talking about, what are the workshops going to be, just moving forward. So it takes about a year of planning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we listen to our agencies, and we of course have an evaluation form, and in that evaluation form we mention it many times throughout the week, saying, please tell us what you want to hear about. Please tell us what training that you feel you need.
Now, there are a couple that I see that are on here twice or multiple times. Is that because you've seen a demand for those and you want to give people an option to not feel like they're going to miss out on something over the course of the 3 days?
Absolutely, yeah. We have to repeat. We don't repeat all of them, but we do have to repeat the most popular ones.